Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Karen Tang's It's Not Hysteria is an accessible nonfiction guide to gynecologic and reproductive health. Written by a board-certified gynecologist and minimally invasive gynecologic surgeon, it addresses the knowledge gaps, stigma, and clinical dismissal that can make symptoms involving periods, pelvic pain, fertility, sexual health, and menopause difficult to recognize and discuss. The title invokes the long history of hysteria as a label used to minimize or mischaracterize women's physical experiences. Tang combines foundational explanations of anatomy and bodily processes with overviews of common conditions, including endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, fibroids, ovarian cysts, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and pelvic floor problems. Its purpose is not to substitute for individualized diagnosis or treatment. Rather, it gives readers language for describing symptoms, context for evaluating health information, and practical ways to prepare for medical appointments. The book also places personal health questions within broader problems of unequal research attention, bias, access, and reproductive autonomy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the legacy of hysteria and the problem of medical dismissal. The book uses hysteria as both a historical subject and a framework for examining present-day failures in gynecologic care. The term originated in beliefs that linked women's health and behavior to the uterus, and it helped legitimize the treatment of physical suffering as irrationality, emotional instability, or an unavoidable part of womanhood. Tang connects that legacy to contemporary experiences in which pain, heavy bleeding, fatigue, or sexual symptoms may be normalized, minimized, or attributed too quickly to stress. The point is not that every symptom has a single gynecologic cause, nor that every clinician acts dismissively. Instead, the book argues that patterned under-recognition has real consequences, delayed evaluation, can prolong distress, and limit treatment choices. This perspective changes how readers interpret uncertainty. A lack of immediate answers should lead to careful assessment, clear follow-up, and consideration of alternatives, rather than reflexive self-doubt. By naming the cultural and institutional forces behind dismissal, Tang gives a practical reason for learning accurate terminology and documenting symptoms. The historical analysis, therefore, supports the book's central clinical aim: symptoms deserve to be described precisely, investigated appropriately, and treated as legitimate health concerns. Secondly, anatomy and bodily literacy as the basis for better decisions. Tang treats basic reproductive health knowledge as an essential form of health literacy, rather than specialized information reserved for clinical settings. The guide covers reproductive anatomy and the nearby systems that shape gynecologic symptoms, helping readers distinguish related but different sources of discomfort, bleeding, urinary changes, bowel concerns, or sexual pain. This matters because vague descriptions can make already brief medical visits less productive. Knowing the difference between vulvar, vaginal, pelvic, uterine, ovarian, bladder, and pelvic floor concerns does not enable self-diagnosis, but it can improve the quality of questions a patient asks and the information a clinician receives. The book also addresses health concerns across the reproductive lifespan, rather than limiting reproductive health to pregnancy prevention or fertility. Menstrual cycles, contraception, infertility, pregnancy-related choices, perimenopause, menopause, and sexual well-being can all require different forms of attention. This broad scope counters a common educational failure. Many people receive fragmented information focused on risk avoidance, but little explanation of how their bodies function or what changes merit care. Tang presents body literacy as a foundation for informed consent. A person cannot meaningfully weigh tests, medication, surgery, watchful waiting, or referral without a workable understanding of the problem being discussed and the possible trade-offs. Thirdly, common gynecologic conditions require specific rather than normalized assessment. A major contribution of the book is its wide-ranging introduction to conditions that are common yet often poorly understood. Tang discusses issues such as endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, uterine fibroids, ovarian cysts, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and pelvic floor dysfunction alongside concerns involving fertility, vaginal and urinary health, and menopause. Grouping these subjects in one volume reveals why generic reassurance can be inadequate. Similar symptoms can arise from different causes, while a single condition can affect people in very different ways. Heavy periods, irregular cycles, pain with menstruation or sex, pressure, fatigue, mood changes, or difficulty conceiving are not interchangeable experiences and should not be approached as such. The book emphasizes the value of recognizing symptom patterns, functional impact, and changes over time. For example, whether pain disrupts work, sleep, movement, sex, or daily activities can be clinically important, even when symptoms have occurred for years. Its treatment discussions are best understood as orientation, rather than prescriptive care. Options may include monitoring, medication, hormonal approaches, pelvic floor therapy, procedures, surgery, or specialist referral, depending on the condition and individual goals. This structure helps readers move beyond simplistic claims that severe symptoms are universal, untreatable, or solved by one standard intervention. Fourthly, symptom tracking and appointment preparation turn knowledge into self-advocacy. Its practical tools distinguish the book from a purely informational medical overview. Tong encourages readers to observe and record relevant details before seeking care, including when symptoms occur, how long they last, their intensity, associated changes, and their effects on everyday life. A symptom journal can be particularly useful when problems fluctuate with the menstrual cycle or emerge intermittently. It creates a record that is more informative than trying to reconstruct months of experience under the pressure of a short appointment. The book also offers prompts and sample questions that can help patients clarify what they need from a visit. These might concern possible explanations, recommended tests, expected benefits and risks of a treatment, alternatives, or the circumstances in which follow-up or referral is appropriate. The underlying principle is collaborative care, not confrontation. Prepared questions help a patient participate in decisions while recognizing that diagnosis depends on clinical evaluation and, when needed, testing. This approach also provides a response to misinformation. Instead of relying on broad claims from social media or assuming that a popular remedy applies universally, readers are encouraged to bring concerns into a structured conversation with a qualified provider. The result is a usable framework for communicating, rather than a promise that information alone can overcome every barrier to care. Lastly, reproductive health is also shaped by research gaps, access, and bodily autonomy. Tong places individual medical experiences in a larger health policy context. The book argues that many gynecologic conditions have received insufficient research attention relative to their prevalence and effect on quality of life. This can leave patients navigating delayed diagnoses, incomplete evidence, uneven provider expertise, and limited treatment options. The analysis is not simply a call for awareness. It explains why public education, clinician training, research investment, insurance coverage, and equitable access affect whether knowledge becomes effective care. The book also addresses reproductive health care in a period of political conflict, including the importance of access to abortion and gender-affirming care. Its inclusive language recognizes that people assigned female at birth do not all share the same identity, goals, anatomy, symptoms, resources, or relationship to reproduction. This is significant because healthcare systems often impose narrow assumptions about who needs gynecologic care and what outcomes they should prioritize. Tong therefore links bodily autonomy to practical clinical communication. People need understandable information and genuine choices to make decisions consistent with their circumstances. At the same time, the book's breadth can make it read more like a reference work than a continuous argument. That format is useful for readers consulting a particular chapter, though it may be less suited to those seeking a single narrative-driven health book. In conclusion, It's Not Hysteria is most useful for people who want a reliable, readable starting point for questions that conventional health education often leaves unanswered, whether a symptom is worth raising, how to describe it, what conditions may be relevant, and how to discuss options with a clinician. It can serve women and other people assigned female at birth at many life stages, as well as partners, family members, educators, and healthcare professionals seeking a patient-centered overview. Readers dealing with pelvic pain, difficult periods, suspected endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, fibroids, fertility concerns, pelvic floor symptoms, or menopausal changes may find its symptom-focused organization especially practical. Its primary benefit is not the replacement of clinical care. It is the conversion of confusing or stigmatized experiences into clearer questions, observations, and conversations. Compared with narrower books focused solely on periods, pregnancy, menopause, or a single diagnosis, Tong offers an unusually broad map of gynecologic health across the lifespan. Compared with a conventional textbook, it is more explicitly concerned with the lived consequences of bias, shame, political constraints, and inadequate research. The book stands out for joining medical explanation with concrete self-advocacy tools, including symptom prompts and appointment questions. Its encyclopedia-like range may mean readers use it selectively rather than read every chapter in sequence. But that same structure makes it a durable reference for topics that can arise at different times in life. If you would like to support Karen Tong, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.